I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the imagination. The imagination is what I call the table turner for the soul. It's the one thing, the most important thing in the area of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. You think about it, our imagination, we have this ongoing video loop that's playing on the inside, and whatever is going on in that video loop on the inside can generate feelings and emotions. For example, your heart rate and blood pressure could increase based on things that we're imagining on the inside. So there's physical results that come from the imagination in the physical world. And so the imagination is a place where we can, you know, envision worst case scenarios, picture things playing out in a terrible way, or we can invite God in and we can dream and plan and vision and imagine with him. The imagination is this powerful gift of God. It's one of the most powerful ways that we can kind of reprogram ourselves. We can reprogram some of those buttons that get pushed in life when people push our buttons and things like that. Situations in life push our buttons and we respond in maybe not the most graceful and beautiful way. The imagination is often the shortcut that we can use to reprogram those buttons. So we're going to be asking for help today. We're going to be taking communion over this, that God would help us to use our imagination the way that he designed it to function. He gave it to us as this amazing gift. And we're asking for his help today to learn how to function in that the way he designed it to. The Bible talks about we're supposed to be casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So the imagination is this very powerful thing. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs 13:22 just jumped off the page of me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? And after some time of meditating on this, I came to the conclusion that the most powerful thing we could pass on would be lessons and wisdom and knowledge for how to truly live. And I made it my goal. I said, I want to create a system. I want to create manuals and systems and teachings that I can pass on for every area of life. And at the time, to be honest, I had no clue where to start. But once I made that commitment, God has been so faithful to show up and to teach me and to train me. And about 10 years later now, it's turned into this whole program that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint. And in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing that we do is daily communion. Daily communion. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to use our imagination. And one of the ways I believe God designed it to function, to use our imagination and to pull his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and imagination and make his sacrifice active and relevant and alive right now in this present moment today. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. Which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all of these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull those into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the cracker and the juice, to release our faith into. It unites our entire spirit, soul and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with a deep reverence and honor and respect for God and for Jesus and for appreciation for his sacrifice. He was willing to go through all that he went through for us, and that God loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son for us to connect us back to him. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. This mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says, some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And recently we've been talking about the opposite of this. A communion has the power to do that in the negative. It has the power to do the opposite in the positive. It has the power to make you strong and healthy and give you a long life. And lately we've been talking about some practical health and fitness advice after our time of communion, because I truly believe all the principles of nutrition and energy and rest and exercise are meant to teach us how to apply our faith, teach us about God, to teach us about Jesus, how to apply our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience Him doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to apply those principles, we can apply those same principles into every other area of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten by you so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him up from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's talk about the other half of prayer. This is a time to examine ourselves and look at, are we making today a masterpiece? Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the Master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God. But that relationship with him has got to be brought down into today. It's got to impact the decisions that we make, the things that we do, the things that we speak, the things that we think about, the imaginations that are playing on the inside. Our relationship has got to impact and infiltrate every area of our lives. That's what we talk about. Are we executing these four fundamentals? And bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into these. Has to happen every single day. So our first one, we're going to take our position in humility. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves. We're going to walk in forgiveness with ourselves. Stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to walk in that same grace and forgiveness with other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today. Because faith works through love. And we're going to take our position in kindness and patience and gentleness, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. You know, we were just talking with our partners last night on our partner Zoom call. And just, I was reminded, one of them said, you know, I'm just reminded of the power of gratitude. When I get into gratitude, There's this lightness that comes into my spirit. There's this peace that comes. There's this presence that comes, all just through getting more grateful, just staying positioned in gratitude and praise. Gratitude and praise, I think of it as connected with faith. When I'm in gratitude and praise, I'm more than likely in faith. And when I get in faith, peace comes, presence comes, the grace begins to flow. We stay in position, all just through staying grateful. And when we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus because he was worthy. He was deserving of it. And we have this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. So this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his kingdom, his purpose, his mind and wisdom. Think about mind and wisdom. Imagination's part of that. His health and energy, his time, his finances, it's all in there available to flow through us today. And we have to learn how to get positioned in it, to receive this. Okay, I was thinking about receiving the other day. If we're playing football and I'm throwing you a pass, I'm throwing the ball to you, and I throw the ball, but you're out of position, there's no chance for you to get to receive it. We got to get positioned first to receive. And then we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. So I think of the positioning, like the on-off switch on a light switch. And then we're going to start to magnify the light. I think of this as the dimmer switch. We can turn up the brightness of it. So to magnify the light, we're going to turn up the brightness, make it bigger and brighter and greater. And we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And it's all about our focus and attention throughout the day. What are we focused on? What are we thinking about? What are we magnifying in our mind? I think of meditation. What are the things that I'm meditating on? And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that I'm rolling over in my mind and my imagination consistently? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it and talking about it. His unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible for him. We can magnify our right standing in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives, and he eagerly desires to help us. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay, everything needed for life and godliness he already put within us. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well and all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. What he started, he's going to sustain it. He's going to see it through to completion. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. Just choosing not to magnify them. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, venting, complaining, pouting, feeling sad and down. Bitterness, unforgiveness, trying to figure it all out ourselves. We're living in dread of the future as we're trying to toil away and figure it all out ourselves rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we're going to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're positioned in it. There might be the tendency to retaliate at people or withhold good things that we know to do because someone did something to us that we didn't like. Maybe we avoid them. We give them the silent treatment and just won't talk to them. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace, giving other people the same love and grace God has given us. In the darkness, there's this heaviness and pressure, like all the weight is sitting on you. Might feel feelings of hopelessness or powerlessness, helplessness. Might feel down or you're pouting or stressed out or who knows what it may be. It feels like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Then there's the low energy. Think of it like a black hole that just sucks the energy right out of you. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. We're toiling away in our mind. Feels like torment in our mind in a way. But when we take our position in our light, there is this lightness that comes into your spirit. There's this rest in your soul. And the more we magnify it, the more it begins to grow. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Because his peace and his joy and his love and his energy, his mind and wisdom all begin to flow through us. And now instead of dread of the future, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And he just begins to effortlessly break us free, to set us free, causing ripple effects for good across every area of our life. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace, because one of our biggest challenges throughout the day is keeping our positioning and our focus, because life's throwing stuff at us every day, trying to knock us out of position, trying to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. But if we ever get off track, the good news is it just takes a moment to turn it back around. And I believe every time you get off track, but you come right back to it again, you come back better because you're learning in the process. So if we ever get off track, how do we fix it? Number one is the awareness of it. And then it's bringing it to God in humility. Say, Father, I missed it. I'm off track right now. Please forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. Stop beating ourselves up over it. We forgive other people if needed, or we say we're sorry, whatever we got to do to reconcile those relationships. And then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love and that what he put within us. I always pray this. Father, help me to tap into and cultivate what you put within me, because it's more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today. And immediately you'll feel that shift. The weight will lift off you on the inside. That lightness and fullness in him will come into your spirit. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. And then we're going to stay tuned in today, our third fundamental. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us, but we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. I like to start with my positioning. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my position first. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we magnify them and focus on them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day. As we go throughout the day, he's trying to navigate us through the day. We've got to stay tuned in to him, aware of his presence with us. You ever feel like you're losing that connection? Just slow down for a minute or two. It doesn't take long, just a minute or two. Get connected to him, get powered up in him again. I like to just focus on the fullness that's found in him for a minute or two. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I was getting into toiling away in my mind and trying to figure it all out. And I was unsure and uncertain on a lot of things. And I would try to take action on those things, and it would just never work out the way that I wanted it to. The grace wasn't there. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind God because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. Write it out, and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing, we're going to get connected with God. Get connected with him through his word, through prayer, praising and thanking and magnifying him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together with him today with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him that he's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of the confident faith, all that doubt and unbelief removed, his grace just begins to surge through us. In waves, it just begins to surge through us. And he begins to beautify our lives as he does the work. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about the imagination for a second. The imagination is what I call the table turner of the soul. I believe it is one of the biggest keys to getting everything that God has put on the inside of us out into the world. It's the bridge that it has to cross to get out into the world. We've got this ongoing video loop. We can use it to visualize and imagine worst case scenarios and plan evil things, or we can use it for good and to dream and to plan and to imagine with God. And I do believe one of the most powerful ways to use our imagination is actually taking communion. One of the most powerful ways to reprogram it, one of the most powerful ways to use it the way God intended, is to visualize two sides of this. To visualize the sacrifice of Jesus, all that he went through for us on the cross, all that he was willing to go through. But then we got to imagine the other side, who he made us to be because of his sacrifice, all that he made available. We've got this connection with God. We've got this new covenant, this partnership with God on the other side. God is with us. I always imagine when I take communion now, Jesus, when he's feeding the multitude, he looks up to God, he gives thanks for the bread, and he breaks the bread. And then out of that comes the multiplication. I imagine these things. We pull these things into our imagination. It begins to do some reprogramming on the inside. And then as we go throughout the day, sometimes in life we got buttons that get pushed to make us want to respond to situations in not the most beautiful way. And just becoming more aware of those things. Because almost always, whenever we respond in that way, there's some kind of imagination playing in the background that led to it. And asking God for help to reprogram those buttons today. Because something I've learned is if you have an area of life, it seems like it's going the wrong direction. It's been going that way for a while. You got a nagging issue of some sort that's been going the wrong way for a while. Usually we have a negative video loop in that area. And if we tried to turn it around and get it going the other direction, it would actually be very hard. It's hard to visualize it going the other way, to visualize it in a positive way. It's going to take some work. But in Isaiah, I believe it's 29:6, I believe, there's this promise where God says, I'm going to give strength to those who turn the battle at the gate. I'm going to give strength to those who turn the battle at the gate. Last night on our partner Zoom, we talked about this promise that God gives to Abraham in the Old Testament. He says, your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. Well, what are those gates? In Galatians 3:29, it says that if we're in Christ, then we're Abraham's seed. So this promise is relevant for us. He's going to give us strength to turn back the battle at these gates. He's going to give us possession of these gates of the enemy. One of the biggest gates, I believe, is the imagination. The imagination is where the enemy comes in. He tries to put thoughts in there. Tries to put imaginations in there. And if we'll do this with God, this is not about us reprogramming it on our own. This is asking for God's help. He's going to give us strength to turn the battle in our mind and imagination through communion, through greater awareness of this throughout the day. So Heavenly Father, you gave us this imagination. It is an amazing gift. And we're asking for your help today to use our imaginations the way that you intended them, the way that you designed them to function in partnership with you. We're asking for your help to any areas where we got imaginations that are going the wrong way. We're imagining the wrong things, that you would help us to reprogram those and turn them around. You would give us strength to turn those battles in our mind. And we just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pull that image of his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance. But let's also pull that image into our mind and remembrance of who he made us to be on the other side of that. I think you have to have both sides. Who he made us to be. You are righteous and holy and perfect in God's sight. You can approach him with freedom and confidence. He always gives us the victory in Christ. He always causes us to triumph. Pulling both sides of that into our mind and imagination and remembrance today. So Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. You should imagine the cup of God's wrath, all of God's anger and frustration that you see in the Old Testament, all of that, the cup of his wrath, was poured onto the body of Jesus. Jesus was smitten by God so that God could fight for us. It was all poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. We have this covenant relationship with him, this personal relationship with him. That's what it's all about. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So let's talk about our imagination in the area of health and fitness. So I've seen this play out. So training clients in the gym for a number of years, 20-something years. People have imaginations in the area of health and fitness. They get these lies embedded in their heart. Oh, I can never do that. I can never lose weight. I can never do that exercise. I'm just bigger. I can't lose weight, whatever it may be. They get these imaginations on the inside. Let's begin to work on. God's going to give you strength to turn the battle at the gate. Is there any areas in your health and fitness? Maybe it's just you envision getting sick. Maybe you envision getting some disease or whatever it may be. Let's search ourselves on the inside. Are there any areas in our imagination, in our health and fitness, where we're envisioning the wrong things? Let's ask God for strength to turn those battles at the gate, to turn those areas around in our imagination. So much of our heart programming comes out in our imagination. And as we reprogram this, I believe it's the shortcut to get all of those good things that God put within us out into the world. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.